Hey, this is Elizabeth.
This is Keisha.
Hi, this is Leslie Sullivan, and welcome to the Mustard Seed Podcast.
All right, and you're back around the table with Keisha and myself as we continue with our women in the Bible. And we talked about Sarah last time, so naturally we're going to be talking about Hagar this time. We're just keeping in the order.
Which is pretty neat because, you know, Hagar, I just kind of skipped over her when you read about her. Mm-hmm. I never really thought much about her own feelings, her own struggles that she had with all of this.
She was the other woman.
Yeah.
You know, she's portrayed almost as the other woman. So you're just automatically like, oh.
Yeah.
Hagar.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
That woman. And it wasn't even her fault.
Yeah.
She didn't do anything. I mean, she did, but she was, again, being obedient.
Yes.
To her master, to her boss, you know.
She didn't have a choice.
No, she was owned.
Yeah.
And again, like we discussed with Sarah, Sarah in that culture was viewed as to be obligated to either provide an heir or to provide somebody else that could.
Yeah.
So, I mean, to be honest, I would think that the slaves, maidservants, or however you want to have them coined, would already have that understanding that if push comes to shove, that's part of their responsibility.
Yeah.
We have that Hagar's name means to flee. And again, so like the basics is we all know that she was Sarah's maidservant, Sarah's slave, which we've talked about before. A slave as we see it now. It's not the same thing, but it's still, you are technically somebody else's property. You're still owned by somebody. You have a job that you can't really leave.
She was Egyptian.
Mm-hmm. Which made me wonder if they got her when they were in Egypt.
That's what I kind of figured, because I mean, the Pharaoh gave Abram a bunch of stuff, and some people even say that, some scholars think that maybe she was the Pharaoh's daughter.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think there's a whole lot to go on that, but
she would have called in those chips.
Exactly.
Like that was actual thing. Like when she left, I feel like she would have felt like she had somewhere to go.
I don't feel like she was, but I did read that some scholars say that she was.
It would be interesting. I wondered, and I'm glad you thought the same thing as far as when Pharaoh was like, hey, y'all need to leave because you've brought some strife in regards to my household. And, you know, and he gave them stuff to get out. Like he, you know, blessed them. Like, here, take this stuff. Have a nice day. Please leave.
Yeah.
So again, so she was obedient to Sarah. Excuse me.
And then she got elevated. She went from servant to wife.
Mm-hmm.
And she became pregnant. And then things change.
Yep. Because when she got pregnant, not only did Sarah obviously become a little jealous.
Uh-huh.
Because that's just, again, that's further proof that it's you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's like, okay, well, this is clearly not, it's clearly my fault.
Yeah. And then it says, let's see. So she conceived, and when she saw that she had conceived, she looked with contempt on her mistress.
Mm-hmm.
So she looked down on Sarah. And so you got to think that even if Sarah has the most, you know, she planned this, she wanted her to get pregnant, but then you get that attitude like, hey, I got pregnant, you didn't.
Yep.
You know, you're going to have that strife. You're going to have that.
He's going to love me more.
Yeah.
He's going to he's going to be more apt to provide for me, not for you.
Yeah. And like a lot of us, when we're kind of getting slapped in the face, Sarah didn't react well.
Yeah.
So she says Sarah dealt harshly with Hagar.
Mm-hmm.
But she also had Abram's permission.
Yeah.
So here's Hagar. She got elevated to wife status, and then she gets pushed right back down to servant status.
Yeah. I also love that, yeah, she got, Sarah, I got Abram's permission, but yeah. She also was like, that maidservant that you got pregnant, yeah, that yeah. You
exactly
laid with, like she didn't just come up with that idea on her own.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like she didn't make him do that. Like he wasn't just following
her.
Her.
Yeah. Which I think happens a lot, and it kind of goes back to Eve too, with the whole, you know, the man and woman power.
Yeah.
That when the woman takes the lead when she's not supposed to take the lead, and the man submits and follows when he's not supposed to, things go bad.
Yeah. Especially when it's not, I mean, again, like we pointed out last time, God didn't specifically say it was from Sarah the first time.
Yeah.
So this is still in between God saying that you're going to have these descendants, and then God saying, but it's going to come from Sarah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
Abram at this time just knows he is going to have a son.
So she's mistreated by Sarai, still at this point, and she flees. She runs.
Yep.
Because she's like, this is ridiculous. You know?
Yeah.
Again, you know, she didn't ask for this. Yeah. Now, I'm not saying that she didn't help out the situation by being a little hoity-toity.
Yeah.
You know, like, hey, look at me, you know. But again, culture, that would be exactly what. That would be her right, almost, to be like, I got pregnant, and that means I'm valuable.
Yeah.
In your path.
And it says, you know, Sarah dealt harshly with her, but it doesn't really give us an idea what exactly she did to her.
No, but it was
probably not good.
No. If you go into, like, even the American history, your mind can think of all the things that Sarai could have done to her or had done to her, but that wasn't, I don't think that was something that was regularly practiced. I don't think abuse like that. I would think more as mind games is how I always kind of now think about it. Cause women don't play.
Yeah.
Most women don't play like the physical game.
Yeah.
It's all more mental.
Yeah. And you got to think she can't do too much physically to her because she's pregnant.
Right.
So.
And she's technically Abram's wife.
Yeah. So. But, and then I think the next part is, like, pretty cool. Because it says, well, Hagar fled. And it says, the angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness. Mm-hmm. So. The scholars think the angel of the Lord is the precarnated Jesus,
yeah.
So, and you know, I think that's one of the coolest things to see in the Bible is when you see him throughout the Old Testament.
Yes, absolutely.
So, I forgot what that's called.
I want to say preordained, but I don't know. That's not the
it's
right
like
word.
It's like a
foreshadowing. Like
yeah.
That, like.
Yeah, kind of. There's an actual term when you see Jesus in the ode. Oh, I found it. I wrote it down. Christophany.
Oh, yes.
That was lucky because that was back in, like, Daniel. My notes from Daniel.
Yeah, hey. Yep, and then he makes a covenant with her. So Jesus, the angel of the Lord, says, you know, go back to your mistress and submit to her authority.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, I will greatly multiply your offspring and they will be too many to count.
That's got to be the hard thing to hear is submit to her authority.
Yep.
I don't like submitting very well.
I don't either. And don't even use the word authority.
Yeah. Like, my personality, I do submit easily, but I don't like the wording of it, I guess.
Yeah, I don't like it. It's not my duty. I don't want to have to feel like I have to.
Yeah. Although we're called to. Yeah.
And again, with the power struggle.
Yep, yep. That's always that. And that's probably our enmity with the word.
Yeah.
Is because of that power struggle.
Yep.
That we have.
So now I want to know what went through her head when he said, you know, you have conceived, you will have a son, and you're going to name him Ishmael. But it says, you know, he will be like a wild donkey. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand will be against him. And he will settle near all of his relatives. So it's like, okay, Lord, you've blessed me with a son, and I, you know, I'll name him that. Cool. But really? Like, he's going to be?
Yeah.
He's going to be like that?
It doesn't sound very good.
And then we're going to multiply all that?
Yeah. I mean, I can't imagine. I want to hear, when I'm still pregnant with my son, that he's going to be like a wild donkey of a man.
Yeah.
I mean, that doesn't sound like a very pleasing. And, you know, as we know, what comes from that bloodline.
Yep.
What that is, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think he tells us stuff to calm her down and to let her know that, you know, he's with her. She's doing... He was there for her.
Yeah.
He came to her. But this is also what's going to come from her.
Right. Like, we will... It's where, you know, God has a handle in everything that happens,
mm-hmm.
whether or not it's of his plan.
Yeah.
You know, like, this is because you guys made this choice. I'm going to be there, but this is what it's going to be like.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so again, you know, just like he did in the garden, he showed up. He's providing, you know, he's making sure that they're okay, you know, but yet. We still see the ramifications of this. We see the ramifications of what happened as a result of Ishmael being born and conceived, you know. I didn't know. Apparently, I was one of the only ones still that did not realize that Muhammad came from Ishmael's line. I knew that Muhammad was of like the Muslim. I understood that he was that. Like, then they viewed him as, you know, a great prophet. I didn't realize, though, that he's a direct descendant.
Yeah.
And I also didn't realize that Ishmael, I wrote it down to make sure I don't get it wrong. Ishmael had 12 sons.
Yeah.
So it's a mirror image, you know. Obviously, Isaac doesn't have 12 sons.
Yeah.
But Jacob does.
His son does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're seeing where it's almost getting misconstrued, where you can understand why Muslims kind of believe, you know, the way that they do.
Yeah.
Because they're, when that angel comes to Muhammad, and there are, an angel can be obviously of heaven or hell. There's mm-hmm. angels in both.
Yeah.
I've heard it said that was a demon, but I don't know. I don't know. And I'm not a scholar, but you know, I feel like that there's angels in both, right? There's angels in heaven and angels in hell. Cause
the angels are what fell.
Yeah.
An angel just means messenger.
Right. So you have the messenger coming to Muhammad and saying, just so you know, the Christians have it wrong. I mean, I'm paraphrasing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But saying they have it wrong, it wasn't Isaac's line that was blessed. It wasn't, you know, through Sarah. It was through Hagar and his firstborn, like Abraham's firstborn, Ishmael. That was the line that God blessed.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why they have their 12 tribes, right?
Yeah.
They have, so it's all linear. It's all a mirror image. Just to throw just another little doubt, another little kink in everything to lead people astray.
Yeah. And, you know, I think, you know, because there's always a struggle between the two. I mean, you see what's going on in Israel right now.
Yes.
You know? And I think that's just another tool the devil uses.
100%.
You know? And like you said, exactly, the mirror image. And that's what he does.
Yeah.
And his whole thing is confusion.
Oh, yeah.
You know? So, it is. And it's just, it's kind of mind-blowing to see that came from this.
Mm-hmm.
So.
That.
And that the two biggest religions in the world all stem from Abraham.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Like you have, he's the father.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And they both claim him from different lines. It's just a massive, and that's something my dad has always said my whole life, always trying to explain everything, you know, that's, pardon me, going on in Israel. You know, it's never peaceful over there, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, it is literally a massive family feud. Like that was how he always tried to explain it to us was.
Yeah.
Like, and then, you know, as you get older, you start to realize, well, this is what happens when you take God's word into your, or you take and you kind of, I don't want to say, sound as bad to say you take God's word in your own hands, because you put God's word in your hands and you're reading it and you need to be in it.
Yeah.
But you're not discerning what he actually wanted you to do. Yeah. You know.
You're picking what you want out of it.
Yeah. You're trying to help it along.
Yeah. Reminds me of doing a research paper in college. I pick what I want.
Exactly. I need to get these 500 words in here.
With 50 references. Exactly.
Well, and again, so, you know, we kind of talk about what we learn. What do you learn from these? So, obviously, now we're getting a outside view of the repercussions of Sarah's decision. But you can't, and we talked about it right in the beginning, you don't think about what Hagar had to go through.
Yeah.
You know, she's out there. She flees because she's worried for her own safety.
Yeah.
She's worried about her baby safety at that point.
Yeah.
But yet she's still obedient to Abraham's God.
Yeah.
She's Egyptian. This isn't her God, right? So this man just shows up and she's like, yes, Lord. You know, and she still is obedient to what God wanted. She trusts him.
And I just, I again, just find it so neat that Jesus is the one who came to her.
No, you know? I agree.
Not, he didn't send a messenger. It was him.
Yeah.
So it's, which I mean, of course he knows everything. So they knew what was going, that was going to lead to what it is today.
And maybe that's kind of what he's saying. He's going to be a donkey.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's going to be, you know, he's going to have a hand against everybody and everybody else is going to have a hand against him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this isn't going to be the Prince of Peace coming up in here, you know.
Yeah.
He's going to be a little.
Yeah.
Hellraiser.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But, I mean, she goes back. She has Ishmael, and Abram was 86 when Ishmael was born.
And he don't even question her about the name. He's like, oh, you were told to name Ishmael? Okay.
Yeah, but that's true. Like, your Lord told me that this is what we're calling him.
Yeah.
It's a very, like, a Elizabeth and
Zechariah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That's what I want to say. Okay. It's that kind of situation, like, this is what you're calling him. Okay.
Yeah. I think it's Zechariah, because,
Right. Like, but that's why, because didn't.
Yeah.
They told Elizabeth,
she
right?
was past.
Yeah. Yeah.
Age. Did she laugh?
I feel like she did. But we got a little bit till we get to her, but I feel like she did too.
I think so.
All right. So then we have, so we go through, you know, we still go through a little bit. We get back to like Abraham and Sarah for a little while. And then we have Isaac being born, which obviously elevate Sarah back to her
yeah.
quote unquote rightful place, right?
Yeah.
And Ishmael is not really treating Isaac with the respect that Sarah thinks he should.
Yeah.
Because obviously now Ishmael's like, I'm the firstborn, so my rights, you know, by right, like he's
yeah.
he's supposed to inherit everything.
Yeah.
But, you know, Sarah's like, no.
Yeah. And he knows, you know, that it's going to be Isaac, this little yeah. baby. And then I read somewhere too, it's talking about, because Genesis 21:8, when it starts, it's talking about Isaac being weaned. So in that culture, that time, that could be anywhere from 3 to 5 years old.
Oh, okay. Wow. Let's go ahead again and say no thanks.
Yeah.
No. So, and here's another thing, that's, you know, Hagar fled the first time, right? Yeah. This time, now, she's being sent.
Yeah.
Like, Sarah's like, we don't need her anymore. So her and her son need to just go. Yeah. Like, they need to leave.
Yeah. And that would be hard. Because, I mean, that's all she knows.
Yeah. And it says, you know, it was very distressing to Abraham because that was his firstborn. So that's his son.
Yeah.
So at that point, you know, he only has 2 kids.
Yeah. And he had 13 years with Ishmael.
So they have Isaac a relationship.
Born. Yeah. Yeah, I would imagine that would be hard.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to help that God still, again, shows up and says, don't be distressed.
Yeah.
You know, about the boy and your slave. Like, I like that it's distinct. It doesn't even say your wife, your slave.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's not, God doesn't even put her on the same level as Sarah. But he says, whatever Sarah says to you, listen to her, because your offspring will be traced through Isaac.
Yeah.
And I will also make a nation of the slave's son because he is your offspring. So he shows up, you know, yeah. God's like, I will take care of her.
Yeah.
And Abraham's like, okay. Though, you know, it's like, it's hard because you're like, thanks for sticking up for me.
Yeah. You know? Oh yeah. Yeah, exactly.
But again, she's obedient and she leaves.
Yep.
With the promise that God's going to take care of her.
Yeah. But, you know, she's dealt with some hardships too. And, you know, it's you know, the water's gone. They're thirsting to death. I'm sure they're hungry. And right. She calls out to God. She says she don't want to see the death of her child.
Mm-hmm.
And then says the angel of God.
Yep. It says the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said mm-hmm. to her, what's wrong? Don't be afraid, for God has heard the boy crying from the place where he is. Get up, help the boy up and grasp his hand, for I will make him a great nation. Then God opened her eyes and she saw a well.
Yeah.
So, like, just from that alone, it's like you can learn from just that passage that you need to seek him.
Yes.
First.
Yeah.
And then he will provide.
Yeah.
You know, you cannot lean on your own understanding. Yeah. You have to cry out, you know. Yeah. You have to ask, you have to let him in.
Yeah.
And once you do that, he opens your eyes.
Yeah, exactly. He will take care.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then I think, you know, they're talking like Ishmael's still a little kid, but he's 16 at least at this point in time.
Yeah, because he was 13 when Isaac was born.
So Isaac just got weaned, so he's probably, you know, youngest two.
Yeah, oldest so five. He could. Yeah, so he's either He's 15 to 18.
Yeah.
Give or take.
Yeah. And I guess I just can't imagine Hagar's situation because she's gone from, you know, even though she was a slave, she was taken care of. She was given food. She was given what she needed.
Mm-hmm.
Now she has to provide that.
Right.
So even, you know, later on it says, you know, she took a wife for him from the land of Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even that part, which the man's supposed to do.
Yeah.
She had to step up and do it.
Yeah. But it does show that she went back, at least, to her.
Yeah. She went to what was familiar. Her homeland,
like, to where probably, I mean, she might have even had family there.
Yeah.
It's definitely interesting when you start thinking, again, like I've said before, when you're looking into these women and you're trying to say, well, what would I have done differently? What would have it have been like, you know, if I was in her shoes, what, you know, and culturally, you know, what she did being shoved out like that culturally, she would have been screwed.
Yeah.
You know, she wouldn't have had a lot of options as a woman, especially considering it's not like Abraham died.
Yeah.
She was cast away.
Yeah. Yeah. And usually when a woman's alone in those situations, in that time period, not good things happen to her.
No. And if they were, by law, if they were married,
mm-hmm.
it's not like she could get remarried to have somebody be able to take care of her.
Yeah.
And it's not like she can go and get a job, you know, readily. So I would, you know, it's like you want to kind of understand what her story was after, like what happened, how did she end up back in Egypt? What happened? How did she mm-hmm. survive? How did she provide for, how did her son, like, did he have to step up and provide for her then at that point, you know? But it's not, obviously our Bible's not going to go into that.
Yeah.
And she's not even mentioned in the Quran.
Yeah. Which, like, is strange, right?
Well, it's that women, it's that,
putting,
that's, yeah, the women down. Are put down. Like, they're not even really, they don't have a place.
Yeah.
You know, other than to provide the next generation, there's really, and to provide for the men. Like, there's really no other role for women in that community. So you have, so they don't even mention her, which, again, I feel like it's a little bold because you have to mention her for him to actually be born.
Yeah. She had a part in it.
Like, she did the bearing. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think she got the bad end of the stick.
I would agree. And I, you know, it's hard to see. It's hard because she really, I'm not, again, she had an attitude. Don't get me wrong. Like, it's clearly the Bible states. So, you know, that she was a little, she had some attitude here and there.
Yeah.
So it's, I'm not saying she was completely innocent, but
yeah,
her life was not a result of actions that she chose.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I, you know, you have to look at it like, yes, God blessed you.
Yeah.
You know, God took care of you, but you were put through some things, and granted, he might not have done it. He allowed it to happen. And
yeah.
He tried to make the best of the situation that you were in.
Yeah.
That was created around you, but she just didn't have
much of a choice. And I, as women, I would say we can't, probably any of us say that we haven't responded like Hagar in certain situations.
Oh yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And we can't say we didn't respond like Sarah did either.
Oh yeah.
So
I can see both sides very well.
Yeah.
You know, you can see it as, you understand why Sarah was jealous, why she was upset.
Mm-hmm.
But culturally, you understand kind of why Hagar was like, haha.
Yeah.
You know, which is not right, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, but you can, but then what Hagar ends up going through, I feel like she went through a lot.
Yeah.
All right. Well, next time we're going to keep moving on, and we're going to talk about Isaac's wife, Rebecca. So we'll get to kind of discuss how the next generations go, and you know, kind of start seeing a little bit more of, you know, the line of Jesus coming mm-hmm. into play a little bit more. So we will see you next time.